Fox and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. One air traffic controller was doing the work of two when a plane and an Army helicopter collided near Reagan National Airport. Aviation consultant Michael Boyd.
That could be a factor in this accident, and it may not be, but it is a factor. But understaffing is a hallmark of the air traffic control system today.
President Trump weighed in today.
I don't know. Do you blame it on the air traffic controller, too, in addition to the pilots? Maybe the pilot's fault. They should have seen it. I would have thought they should have seen it.
Trump also...
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Authorities have recovered 40 intact bodies and parts of others from the Potomac River a day after a passenger jet and an Army helicopter collided near Reagan National Airport. There were no survivors. The search has been suspended for the night. Two sources tell CBS News one air traffic controller was doing the work of two at the time. At Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, Karma Jay of New York City isn't thrilled to be flying today.
Of course, that's not something that you want to see as you're boarding a plane. So yeah, I was really panicked.
President Trump signed two orders this afternoon in response to the accident.
One executive order officially appoints an acting deputy administrator to the Federal Aviation Administration. The second orders an immediate assessment of aviation safety and specifically cites the Biden administration's diversity policies. The president was asked, are you saying race or gender played a role in this tragedy?
It may have. I don't know. Incompetence might have played a role.
Doubling down on the competence issue without evidence of incompetence.
If they don't have a great brain, a great power of the brain, they're not going to be very good at what they do and bad things will happen.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Several U.S. figure skaters were killed in last night's crash. They were honored at a competition in Kalamazoo, Michigan today.
We ask that everyone please join us in a moment of silence.
This skater's mother says she knew some of the victims.
This morning, I clicked open and looked at a list and realized that I knew multiple names on that list. It was kind of like a punch to the gut.
In all, 67 people died in the crash. There were more confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill today. The president's pick for FBI director Kash Patel said he broke with Trump on the clemency Trump granted some January 6th defendants.
Do not agree with the commutation of any sentence of any individual who committed violence against law enforcement.
Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's pick for director of national intelligence, was challenged by a Republican, Kansas Senator Jerry Moran.
I want to make certain that in no way does Russia get a pass in either your mind or your heart or in any policy recommendation you would make or not make.
Senator, I'm offended by the question because my sole focus, commitment and responsibility is about our own nation.
Health Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was also challenged by some Republicans, including Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
If you come out unequivocally, vaccines are safe, it does not cause autism, that would have an incredible impact.
Kennedy refused to say that. Stocks were higher today. Dow up 168 points. NASDAQ gained 49. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
CBS News special report. One air traffic controller was doing the work of two when a plane and an Army helicopter collided near Reagan National Airport. Aviation consultant Michael Boyd.
That could be a factor in this accident, and it may not be. But it is a factor, but understaffing is a hallmark of the air traffic control system today.
President Trump weighed in today.
I don't know. Do you blame it on the air traffic controller, too, in addition to the pilots? Maybe the pilot's fault. They should have seen it. I would have thought they should have seen it.
Trump also blamed diversity efforts in the aviation industry. CBS's Eleanor Watson says the helicopter flight was routine training.
Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said that the battalion that this particular Black Hawk came from, the 12th Aviation Battalion out of Fort Belvoir, Virginia, will be on a 48-hour pause as this investigation gets going. And the Army will certainly look at other potential safety briefings that they can give about this incident as we learn more.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s, and more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs in the low 40s. Currently 40 degrees.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get set for yet another road game coming up on Saturday afternoon down at Walsh Ryan Arena in Evanston, the Badgers and the Northwestern Wildcats. That'll conclude a stretch of 4 out of 5 games on the road as we get ready for the second half of the Big Ten season. On tonight's show, we'll check in with the Badgers' two leading scorers, John Tonjay and John Blackwell. We'll also hear from a broadcast partner, Brian Butch. First couple of segments, as always, with head coach Greg Gard. Those of us on the outside, we watched the game last night. This is a really good college basketball game. Big time atmosphere. Some nights the shots don't fall with the frequency of others, but your guys, it wasn't like they wilted. I mean, throughout the course of the game, they went toe-to-toe with those
guys, didn't they? Yeah, and I thought, you know, kind of, I mean, Maryland's good. I mean, we knew that going in, and I thought, you know, guard play was going to be important, and obviously Gillespie, really good player on film, really good film or player on paper, and he made some plays there when they needed him down the stretch. You know, offensively, I thought, you know, we're specifically rim twos. You know, we could dive into the analytics, Matt, as we do all the time, and we had been at 63% at the rim, and we shoot 46% at the rim. So there's the difference, even though we, you know, everybody talks about going 9 for 27 from three. You know, it was slightly below where our target was, but quite frankly, I thought we turned down some threes that we should have took that ended up being forced other shots. So it was really came down to, obviously, the free throw line. We were shoot a little bit better. I think we needed to be up in the a little more there and shoot a little bit better. But it was the rim twos, which when you break down the film, we missed a lot of things at the rim point blank. And obviously the analytics told us what our eyes are, confirmed what our eyes told us.
Yeah, there's the analytics, and then you look for the why. Were guys off balance? Were we seeing some things along those lines?
Yeah, a combination. I thought we could have dropped some passes off at times. You know, we missed some flat-out layups. You know, we could have used the other side of the rim once. We could have dropped it to the floor. We drew two with us on dribble penetration. Thought a couple times we could have kicked it to open shooters on the perimeter. So just things that and I thought we forced things at times. I thought we, you know, we had been pretty calm and pretty easy flowing offensively. I thought at times we kind of hit a panic button and forced shots that we, even from three, I thought we took some tough ones at times that we didn't need to take. We talk about the ball, letting the ball work for you, let the offense work for you. Don't go chase it. Don't try to force things and make plays out of nothing. Let things work for you. And when we did it, we got some really good looks, and we missed really good looks too. We missed them. I think we had a sequence. John Tonjay missed, you know, two or three in a row in the same possession that were wide open. You're not going to script it any better. But we kept battling, even though it was frustrating that we couldn't get the ball to go in at the rate that we typically do. And you know, so we got to continue to. We'll break down that film today and go through it and learn from it.
You look at the good things in Maryland. On average, gets about 20 points a game off turnovers. It got half that. Well, just slightly more, 11. Only 2 turnovers in the second half. I don't know how many teams have been able to do that over 20 minutes against Maryland.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job. You know, I thought early, even the ones that we had weren't they weren't because of Maryland's defensive pressure. It was because, you know, we had 2 charges in the first half. Tonjay's both his fouls were charges. You know, I thought we drove into traffic early and talking about forcing things and not moving the ball and letting the offense work for you, and we ended up driving into the teeth of the defense unnecessarily, and we lost the ball a couple times. So I thought after that first flurry, we were much better. We were much smarter, made better decisions with the ball. Then obviously in the second half, we have a charge where we have a, you know, it was the right call. Steve just needed to work his way for a layup and not snowplow the defender under the rim. I like the aggressiveness that when you're able to just work a guy in that was going to let you have the layup, and we go up 5, don't de-cleat him. So just things that you know, we can get better from. But I think the forcing offense at times was the biggest thing that jumped out, and then obviously not finishing at the rate at the rim that we should.
I've always thought for players, one of the real challenges, and this is not meant to be a criticism of officiating at all, but it just seems like, not just Wisconsin games, it seems like we're in a stretch where the games are getting more physical.
physical, and we're not hearing as many whistles. There's an ebb and flow to that. But as a player, like first half, it seemed like they let it go. Second half, they tighten it up. That's one of the challenges of this sport, no matter the level.
It is. And it's, you know, and I think we're seeing, you know, we saw a little bit of it yet last year because they were working in some former Pac-12 officials into our league. This year we've seen obviously a bigger influx of Pac-12 officials, and just the acclimation of, you know, Pac-12 played differently for the most part than what the Big Ten has played. So those officials are still trying to, and we're trying to adjust. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been, you know, like I said, there's been some inconsistency at times. You know, and they always talk about freedom of movement, cleaning things up, and by and large, when you get for 25 years, do you get to January, February? It's, you know, it's rock 'em, sock 'em. All those addendums to the rules get thrown out the window.
Well, as you said, year after year, too, the coaches in this league are so good. The scouting is so good. It's, I mean, you could pull out a wrinkle as you did at the end of the first half in the game last night defensively. But for the most part, everybody knows everybody, too, and that just adds to the intensity.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you're not getting away with things, you know, the tendencies. And not only do you know them from years gone by, but I don't think there's a league that scouts and prepares better than the Big Ten. I just can tell it from even when we play non-conference games, just how it seems we're well prepared and things that we, you know, because everybody's trying to steal each other's signs, just like third base, you know, trying to steal the signs from third base coach and the catcher and all that stuff. So, you know, you just and the film within this year, I think teams get smarter and wiser and more information in their Rolodex, so to speak, as the year goes on. And we got to be, you know, we got to continue to play chess while they play checkers. And that's one of the, you know, John Tanjay, I talked to him about it at halftime last night. Is, hey, this isn't the first time you've been set up to get a charge on you. Let's be a little wiser with moving the ball and understanding we can't, you know, barrel into people because they're going to try to get you on the bench. That's the best defense they can play on you is have you sit next to my assistants, and it's not good for us.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned this with Tanjay. We'll hear it in the conversation. He knows that he's moved up on the scouting report. So is John Blackwell. You saw right. Maryland really zeroed in on him last night, didn't they?
They did. And he, you know, he got the two fouls that, you know, put him on the bench as well. The second one, I didn't think really shouldn't have been the recipient of the foul. I think he was, you know, what they say, they always, the retaliation always is the one that gets caught. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think he retaliated. I just think the official viewed it wrong. But you have to live with that, and we have to pick up, you know, that way, that's why you can't pick up silly ones, because there's going to be some bang-bang ones. Mm-hmm. But John's case, you know, let's start the game smarter so you don't have to sit the last 9 minutes of the half.
You mentioned Stevie Crowell a couple of minutes ago. It seemed like he was really, you know, Butchie was really singing his praises last night. I saw he had just one block, and felt like he affected his fair number of shots.
Yeah, he did.
Night.
I thought, you know, we did a really good, speaking of analytics, our analytic numbers of defending at the rim and in the paint were really good. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to make 12 threes to beat us and bank in one and have a kid that had made four all year make another one. Mm-hmm. So a couple in transition, but I thought, and that was a point of emphasis, we knew we couldn't let Reese and Queen play downhill in the paint, and I thought for the most part we did a pretty good job of avoiding that and stopping that and not putting him at the line, and we put him at the line eight times when we're playing the foul game at the end, so those free throw numbers get distorted a little bit, but by and large, you know, other than, you know, I'm not chasing hard enough at the start of the second half to give up a three to McQuell, two in transition. You know, Gillespie banks one in when we get the dribble penetration stopped, and he backs up and just launches it. You know, and then Harris Smith makes the one that, you know, if there's anybody on the court, you want to take away the paint, make the non-shooter shoot it, and the non-shooter made a shot.
Yeah, he's now 5 for 23. I think right. This season with 3-point line. Even Gillespie, we'll go to break here, as good as he was, and he's a really good player. He had 16 points. He needed 13 shots to get there. He had four turnovers last night. So, you guys, you made him.
It was really,
made him work.
If you really break it down, it was, you know, just our offensive, not playing at our norm from an offensive standpoint. And, You know, and some of it's credit to Maryland. I think the two bigs inside impacted, you know, of course they impact the game. They block shots. They're an opposing figure in the paint and clog things up. And then, you know, so we got to finish in the paint, and we got to knock down some more threes.
All right, we'll take a break. More to come. Badgers hit the road. They'll be at Northwestern on Saturday afternoon. Tip time down at Walsh Ryan Arena will be 1 o'clock Central Time. We'll take a break. More to come as we continue with the Greg Gard Show on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Save big money on everything for your painting and staining projects now at Menards. Add beautiful color to your projects with Minwax water-based wood stain. This penetrating stain delivers color that showcases wood grain in one single coat and dries in 1 hour. Get a quart for $15.49 at Menards. Plus, check out Minwax's 2025 Color of the Year, Violet, in-store and on Menards.com. View the weekly flyer for more great deals going on now through February 2nd.
Save big money at Menards.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health, remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Badger fans. Basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. In a bit, we'll check in with John Tanjay as well as John Blackwell, and we'll also hear from Brian Butch. People ask about Max Klesmer right now. I know the shot isn't falling for him, but look at the box score, and you guys look deeper than a simple box score. 7 rebounds. His assist to turnover ratio this season is better than 2-1. By the way, Kamari's like chasing 4-1 with assist to turnover ratio. I mentioned this last week. It seems like with Matt, it's a matter of time. The body of work is too good. He's going to start knocking down these shots. And when you get one, or you see it go through once or twice,
right,
it can make all the difference in the world.
I think,
right?
The biggest thing with Max is, and what we've tried to talk about, is not try to force it. You know, let things come to him. I know he's trying to shoot his way out of the slump, so to speak, but as I've told shooters for years, if you want to shoot a better percentage, take better shots. So for him, it's just he's pressing and trying to make something happen for his team. He needs to just let the offense and the ball work for him and take the ones that are good ones, and it'll become much easier and much less stressful for him if he just lets the ball and the offense work for him versus versus trying to hammer his way out, so to speak. Just smoothly sail your way out and continue to do other good things like he has been doing.
He is a veteran player, so maybe, and he's a fiery competitor. No one, anybody who's paid attention knows that. But because he's been through the ride here, that can help him as well get through this, knowing that there's other things he can do to help his team.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's doing everything else pretty well. I mean, he's shooting 86% from the line. I know when he missed those two last night, it's like there's an eclipse happening or something. And but the biggest thing for him is just, hey, relax, take good shots. Let the offense and the ball work for you. Let that find you. Don't go chasing it and, like I said, trying to pound your way out of it with a hammer. Let it come to you and let it flow.
You've mentioned on this show and other media sessions about Kamari and the growth of his game. And I wasn't kidding a minute ago when I mentioned he's chasing 4-1 with his assist-to-turnover ratio. He has 41 assists, 13 turnovers. The scoring gets talked about. The three-point shooting gets talked about. But I'm guessing Kamari, I remember Devin Harris talked about this. What was the first thing you look for, Devin? Assist to turnovers.
Right.
That's been a massive jump.
It has been. You know, I think, quite frankly, probably when he got here, it was the other way around. At least in practice, it looked like felt like it was. So it's just a credit to him of how he's developed in his game, his maturity, slowed it down when he needs to. You know, and the three-point shooting is, as you mentioned, he's leading the Big Ten right now in three-point percentage. So, because he takes the right ones. You know, he doesn't have an extremely high volume, but he's taken for the most part really good shots, and he's understanding, you know, how his change of pace can help set up and set up assists and set up playmaking opportunities for him. So, I think. You know, he did some good things. We talked about the missed twos. That was part of, you know, I think he could have even more assists last night had we, you know, we draw two or draw the big guys with us and find the open teammate. You know, things that film will tell us and help us.
You got Northwestern, as we mentioned, on Saturday. And this is like the nature of sports. And I should know better. You know, Dylan Harper didn't play for Rutgers last night. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's had injuries. He's battled some illness where he's lost a fair amount of weight and all of this. So you're thinking, okay, this has been a disappointing year for Rutgers. They still have Ace Bailey. My goodness, did they have Ace Bailey last night? But that's how this works, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you take a hit in the short term,
absolutely.
Whoa, who are these guys?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Northwestern.
It did, yeah. I think Rutgers shot almost 60% for the game, and obviously Bailey at 35 or 37, whatever. And, you know, when a player like that gets going, that's what we were fortunately able to do at Rutgers, is not let him or Harper get going and really try to dismantle any confidence, so to speak. But, you know, when a player of that talent, you know, that can score at all three levels on the floor gets going, it's a hard guard, you know, and they got off to a good start and were able to keep Northwestern at bay. But Northwestern, you watch them, you know, they've scuffled a little bit here lately. They beat Indiana a week ago there, but they, you know, they guard hard. They, you know, they've had some lineup. They've been mixing and matching guys out of the lineup, but Barnheiser, Martinelli, two proven players in our league that have had really good careers. And, you know, and they're a handful at home. You know, much mm-hmm. like we've seen when football goes there, they're a different animal mm-hmm. at home. And we know we'll be in for a heck of a challenge on Saturday.
It used to be, and Barry Alvarez talked about this a lot, he hated going there because there wasn't a ton of atmosphere. You can't say that anymore
right.
about basketball, about
right.
Welsh Ryan Arena. It's legit. I know we've gone with the atmosphere theme 1,000 times with you over the course of the years, but they're also good. Right?
Yeah,
it's a good
team.
That
was the thing of 15, 20 years ago. If Northwestern won, it was a fluke, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, they found the genie in the bottle. Now it's not. I mean, they're good. They're competitive and everything. They beat Illinois there early in the year, you know, so they lost to Michigan in overtime. So you just look at who they played. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, they do some really good things. They're very innovative what they do offensively. You know, Brian James, their assistant that actually coached Chris Collins in high school, spent a lot of time in the NBA, and he's kind of affectionately known as the wizard on the bench. There's always going to be some trick coming out of his sleeve. So it really, because they run so much stuff, it becomes a concepts game from us, from our point defensively, that you have to trust your our rules, because you're not going to be able to show them the 150 sets, and they'll probably add 20 more in preparation for us that they could throw at you. So you really rely on rules and instincts and leaning into our system defensively.
And their defense, the Chris Lowry influence, they brought him on a couple of years ago. That was a big difference.
It was. You know, I think it got them more physical in the paint. It got them more loaded and more pack line, I guess. Trap the post, maybe not as much as they have in the past, but they still will. Occasionally, we expect to see it. And then, obviously, really physically in the paint, there's not a lot of gaps. You're going to have to make good decisions. You have to move the ball. Can't drive it into traffic. There's too many hands, and they're too active. So we're going to have to distort the defense and get the best shots we can.
If you're just a casual basketball fan, this is one you want to take in on Saturday, because you've got four of the top 10 or 12 scorers in the Big Ten on the floor.
Right.
With Tanjay and Blackwell, and you mentioned Martinelli and Barnheiser. There's a lot of reasons why you want to watch it. But you want to see guys who know how to put the ball in the basket. You got a lot of them out there. The other thing about Northwestern, and the guys I'm going to talk about now do not have gaudy statistics, but they're flipping huge.
Right.
I mean, whoever it is, it could be a Luke Hunger, it could be Nicholson. They just have, it's like an offensive line.
Yeah, Nicholson, more known as the Lumberjack. the guy that's taken his body and been able to make it very enforceable and very usable and very beneficial for Northwestern. I mean, when he got hurt last year, they were not the same team, late in the year. And we played him twice, once here and then Big Ten tournament, and he was sat quite a bit. I think he broke his foot or something late in the year, and him being back and really anchoring the middle makes him a much better team.
I was talking to Snides recently because we had mentioned Ricardo Greppi and how far he had come along from, as you said, a guy who could barely do a push-up. Said, do you like that frame? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying he could be the size of some of those dudes at Northwestern, but I'm not saying he can't either.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got a shot, doesn't he?
That's been a comparison. Like, hey, can he do what Nicholson does for Northwestern? And I think Ricardo has a better feel for the game because of his passing. Obviously, doesn't have the experience or the strength yet that Nicholson does, but... Unfortunately for Ricky, he got hurt just at the right time when he was starting to get some traction and make some. And he's bounced back now, but now he's got to do some catching up, so to speak. But you're looking at a fourth or fifth year guy in Nicholson to a first year guy in Greppi, but there are similarities there physically.
He was able to unleash some energy on that dunk against the Brass.
He did, yeah, he did. I warned him in the film session. I said, you got to be careful now in Italy over there. You can get away with a little extra swing and a wiggle on the rim. Here, you got to be careful with that. But he has some fun with it. He plays a little flair and some emotion, which is good to see.
Yeah, good to see. Common sense prevailed too. They didn't tech him there. So appreciate your time as always. We'll take a break. We'll check in with the players, John Tanjay and John Blackwell, here in a couple of minutes as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Continuing with the Greg Gard Show, we'll check in with Brian Butch in a few minutes. But right now, we hear from the top two scorers on this year's Wisconsin basketball team, John Tanjay and John Blackwell. We'll start with Blackwell, the sophomore guard out of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He was pretty good last year as a freshman. We know that, what he did at both ends of the floor. Well, he's ramped it up at least one notch, if not two or three, in this his sophomore season, shooting nearly 40% from the three-point line in Big Ten play. He's been shooting it better, scoring it better in conference games than he was out of conference, and that's usually an indicator that you are the real deal, even though they did have a challenging non-conference schedule with some of those games, as we all know. But I asked John about the difference in his game from his rookie season to now year two with the Badgers.
Yeah, just trying to be a consistent scorer. Obviously, we might need it down the stretch. Just trying to be able to create for my teammates and then myself. And then just being a leader. If it's not vocally, it's just through my play and how hard I'm going. I'm talking on defense and stuff like that.
Yeah, you I was talking with Coach Gard about you. You're one of those guys, everybody likes to talk about it, but you want the ball in your hands in crunch time, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just confident in myself. And I just, like, if the blame's going to go to somebody, I'll take the blame. If I miss the shot, I'll take the blame. If I don't make the right read, I'll take the blame. And I'll just learn from it because I think I do good at that. Like, I learn from my mistakes. So, and I think the team trusts me with the ball at the end. Tried to prove it this summer. And obviously, I couldn't prove it my freshman year. We had a lot more guys to go to, but just tried to prove it this summer. And show that I want the ball in my hand.
You talked about the LA trip, and you guys got to do a lot of things. You were there for a while. It's kind of the nature of the Big Ten. The experience out there, you know, being able to, you know, go to a Lakers Clippers game, go to the food bank, all that, mm-hmm. Be able to embrace all that stuff.
Yeah, it was one of the best trips for basketball that I ever took. Even with the loss, it was just an amazing trip. Just bonding with the guys, getting away from the cold, obviously, but. We just enjoyed our time out there. It was, I don't know, it's a little bit different feeling when it's warm weather outside and you want to go play basketball, and then when it's cold outside and you want to go play basketball. But, yeah, I mean, we think we learned a lot from that trip, and I think we've got hungry from that trip, and we've learned a lot. I think we learned a lot about our team. I mean, We kind of got the same guys from last year, but it's obviously a different dynamic to our team. We just learned a lot of what we got to do to win.
You find that out even in the trip to Greenbrier in West Virginia last year in Fort Myers. When you're away from campus for a few days, there's a lot to be gained off the floor as well as on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can just gain way better relationships. I mean, you're with these guys now like 24/7. So, yeah, just relationship building that, and you're just having fun with your guys on these road trips. I think, honestly, to me, these are the best type of things when we're going away and we're playing two games on a road trip. I love that so much. Just, you got to be locked in because you're going into sometimes hostile environments or neutral sites. And I just love it. I love when the Badger fans travel. Like, that's one of my favorite parts.
You hear that, right? A lot of Badger fans at SC and then UCLA, you really notice that, don't you?
Yeah, Badger fans do travel for sure.
One of the things that I got a kick out of watching a lot of you guys the first part of the trip when we were downtown, we're seeing the UFC competitors. Yeah. You big UFC guy?
I'm not a big UFC guy, but it was like, it was fun seeing those guys, see like who they like actually watch. And I'm on TikTok now looking at all these guys, and now I'm watching all these videos on the guys. I'm really interested in like the guys that are from Dagestan. They like the way they live life and the way they go about things is just amazing. You could like take it on the basketball court, like the discipline they have. Like, I'm not going to tap out. Like, you're not going to beat me. So, like, it's just a thing you could take on the basketball court. It's obviously interesting now, like, that I've seen him in person. So, yeah.
I know Coach Chambliss, he really is knowledgeable. There's some of your teammates are really big into this, too.
Oh, yeah, John Tanji, he's a big one. The top three are John, Max Lesman, and Chris Hodges. Those are the top three. And then Steve is in that mix, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be a little different, right, to be in that sport, because that is the ultimate one-on-one. You got to be different to do what you guys are doing on the basketball court, but that's just a different level there.
Yeah, that is a different level, but, I mean, it's obviously a fun sport. It's a growing sport for sure in the U.S. right now, so the next fight I'll definitely be tuned in for.
There you go. As much as we get back to basketball here, and then we'll get you on your way, but you guys continue to learn. You got the next game coming up, obviously, and then back on the road for two. You guys feel like when you're at your best, you're as good as anybody, don't you, as a team?
I feel like when we're at our best and we're playing together, we're one of the best teams in the country. We defend and we move the ball and play with the pace that we know we got. I don't think nobody can stop us.
Well, as you can tell, Blackwell enjoyed the trip to Los Angeles. You could say the same thing for John Tanjade, and probably up and down the roster, everybody involved in that trip out to Southern California, the things they were able to do on and off the floor. I asked John about that bonding experience of 6 nights being away from home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we had a lot of time to, you know, spend with each other, bring us closer in the year and kind of get, not necessarily a vacation, but, you know, get to go down there, get some good weather, be able to walk around and spend some time with each other was huge for us.
It's interesting as people get to know you. I talked to Coach Gard about you. Like, every player wants to get statistics and all that, but they say one of the things that stands out about you is, did your team win or not? So even with the USC game, you won. So you were as happy as anybody in the room, right? You've always been that way as a player?
Absolutely. I'm here to compete and get the win. And, other guys stepped up and we were able to get the win, and that's all that mattered. So,
and then the next day, next game, you were raining threes on people, but you were probably the most disappointed guy, right, with the outcome of the game. But just being able to see it go through again, I would imagine you're getting a lot more attention from teams maybe than you were at the beginning of the season as teams see what you've been able to do. Have you noticed that during games? You're probably up pretty high in the scouting report now.
Yeah, I mean, but that's to be expected. I feel like, this is part of it, trying to compete, come out here and get a win. And, teams are going to game plan against me. And, I'm up for the challenge, and I love to show up here every day and compete.
Going back to the L.A. trip, I'm told that you're one of the big UFC guys on the team, you and a couple others. So that was probably a good kick for you, seeing all those competitors out there at the hotel in L.A.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, a lot of those guys, I look up to a lot of those guys, and I take a lot of inspiration from them. So it was awesome to be able to go around and meet some of them, actually. It was a surreal moment.
I know John was talking about it, where, like, in some ways you can translate, because those guys, nobody wants to tap out. So the sports are different, but maybe there's some things from that that helps you as a basketball athlete, too.
Absolutely. There's a lot of the mental stuff that goes into it, and I've studied a lot of those guys for years now. So it was awesome to be able to see some of those guys and see how they work as well.
I talked to you early in the season. Now we circle back here a little bit past the midway point. Everything being here as a Wisconsin Badger, everything you had hoped for, at least everything you hoped for, if not more.
Yeah, it's been everything and more. It's been an unbelievable experience. I couldn't have, this opportunity given from God. And I know that just from everything I've gotten here has just been amazing. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all been beautiful and amazing. And I've been so, grateful to be here.
As good as you guys have been, it's been pretty good. What do you feel like? What's the next step with this team to be an even better team down the stretch here?
Yeah, just step by step, day by day, trying to get better and put it together, with the process. So I think, we're learning a lot still and still getting better. So I'm super excited about the future.
How much have you leaned on or just picked the brains of guys who've been around? If it's Stevie, if it's Gilmore, Kamari, I know he transferred in, Max. Is that, those guys all been a big help to you as you continue to grow here at Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Those guys have been huge for me. Just being, older guys that I can talk to and just figure out what the culture is about here and figure out, how things have looked, how things have been and just trying to fit in and learn everything I can from those guys. They've been huge since day one.
And we thank John Tanjay and John Blackwell for joining us tonight. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with my partner, Brian Butch, as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Badger fans, basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Basketball fans, Mott's Matt for Brewpub Latte Mozza Pizza here. As much as our Badgers are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub Pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub Pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub Pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger Basketball and Brewpub Pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We
We continue with the Greg Gard Show, joined by Brian Butch. Had a chance to visit with John Tanjay and John Blackwell. Fans had a chance to listen to that. Joe Krabbenhoff, dude, we talked to Greg Gard after the game against Nebraska, and he had mentioned that was Joe Krabbenhoff saying, you recruit good guys, right? You know, it always gives you a chance. And, you know, we see these guys from an arm's length, but it seems like they have a pretty good group of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Joe, his exact words were, we do really well with a really good guy. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Yeah. And that's always been the fabric of Wisconsin basketball. Mm-hmm. So you have good guys who are unselfish, who want to play for each other, and it's going to give you a chance to be really good. Mm-hmm. Every year.
Yeah.
And then how that group comes together. And as you can see with this group, more than anything, everyone's playing for each other. And you can tell by a number. It's by their assist number. It's one of the highest assist numbers that they've had in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it means guys are willing to share the ball, make the extra pass for each other, know what the right pass is. And I think that's the thing that, like, you see it with the number. Then you see it on the bench, and you see all the energy that guys bring in, how happy everybody is, and that's the sign of really good teams. Again, the best teams are player-led teams.
Yeah.
And even though Greg and staff do a great job, right? Like, they're giving you, you know, it's the paint by number, right? They put the numbers on the paint, but the players are the ones that have to execute that.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful paint by number picture. Now, can they make it look good when they take it apart, right? When they finally put the paint or the brush on the paper. And I think that's what this group is doing.
Yeah, I think Greg's the first guy who would tell you that, too. The players can lead, and the best teams are like that, and they get along. We touched on this next topic a little bit during halftime of the Maryland game about, you know, the stretch that they're in. Another road game coming up on Saturday, a bus ride down to Evanston. At this time of year, you know, taking care of your body is critical. It is year-round, but especially now, and especially with being on the road, planes, buses, dry air. You said it was a little trial and error back in your day, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I tried a lot of paint by numbers, right? You know, I mean, that's what all these guys have in their suitcases anyways. They bring a paint by number, they're good to go. No.
I thought that was just you.
but it was. Like, it was probably 5 years into being a professional where I found out the right mixture between massage, sleep, hydration, where it would work, where I, no matter how many games I was playing when I was over in Japan, like, I was like, okay, I've got this down. Like, I feel really good heading into game time. And it was that science that you work through and you figure out. Now, I know Schneid takes care of the guys, and he's got a great view on all of them. And that, you know, when game time matters and comes, it starts with their lunches, their dinner time, you know, the meal prep, all those things that they do. But it is one of those things, especially as a younger player. And I know they're getting paid now. I know there's, like, I know they, you know, Greg's been great about the messaging. Hey, it doesn't matter. We're going to play wherever we play. It doesn't matter. And he's right. Because then that first starts in your head. Now, all of a sudden, they feel great. But there's one of those things. But when it's game time, you want your body to be feeling as great as it can be. And there's little things, whether it's, you know, the compression stuff, whatever it might be. Each guy's got to work through a little bit with that. The positive with this team, even with all the travels here, is they've got a lot of older guys.
Yeah.
So they've had a little trial in there. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. They know what works for them individually. And now they can do that and get ready to play.
It's interesting, even from my seat, to watch this over the course of, you know, well, 37 years for me doing this, but really more the last 25 or so. And when Scotty Hedenbach was a strength coach, he's always, he'd be reading up on stuff on planes, always trying to keep up or stay a step ahead. Eric Helland, same thing. Jim Snyder, the same thing. It's amazing how it's changed, how much more meticulous every aspect, right? Rest, recovery, nutrition, hydration. I mean, we joke about it, but the reality is it wasn't that long ago when you played at Wisconsin, but it seems that whole aspect of it has come a long way from 2008 to where we are now.
No, it really has. And I think it's just the way that it all flows, but it's come so far. And I think guys have, again, when you're talking about this level, you're looking for the smallest advantage that you can get. And I think the way that the Wisconsin's approached that side of it, they've gotten advantages. And they've found ways to make sure guys are ready no matter what time the tip, no matter what where they're at, no matter how much rest they've gotten or lack thereof rest, like, they're ready to go. So I think that's the most important thing. And it really has. It's continued. But it's also having an open mind. And that's where you have to give Greg such a you know, round of applause for saying, okay, this isn't what I knew, but I'm willing to listen. Show me why. of course, let's implement this and what we do with our guys. Why have we not, right? Well, because it's new. That's why but we've got the research now, and this is why. And so, yeah, that's why we want to do this. Are we okay to do this? And, some head coaches say, no, this is all I know. This is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. Well, Greg's open to listen to all those changes, and you can see guys being fresh and being ready to go and really help this team when their number's called.
I'm wondering, too, just again from the outside looking in, if it's – and maybe the kids today are used to it, the college-level player is used to it, but this is almost an odd week in that there's a rhythm to the schedule. They're going to play Wednesday night. They play Wednesday night. They're going to play Saturday. Next week, Tuesday night, they're going to play Saturday. But the reality is every night's in play. You can play on a Sunday. You can play on a Monday. They've had Friday games. The lack of rhythm. Now, for old dudes like me, I say, man, that's got to take some getting used to, but maybe today's player just kind of knows that's the drill.
I think they know it's the drill. I mean, when I played, it was Wednesday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, that's what it was. It was either are we home or are we on the road? Didn't matter. So knowing that does help a little bit, but I think the technology gets you ready for whenever that ball is tipped.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I look at with this group is they've used that, they understand it, and now they get to go play. And that's where I think the benefit of being with guys you like plays a big factor. Because yes. the biggest thing as a teammate is there's one thing you never wanted to do. It's the biggest thing in a locker room. Mm-hmm. Never want to let your teammates down.
So
whatever and however that would look, and I think that's still true. Even though we talk about all the things that have changed, all those different things, there's one thing that hasn't changed, and that's wanting to be there for your teammates.
And they'll have a chance to do that at Northwestern. It's another play we talked about a little bit the other night. How the atmosphere there has changed. How the program at Northwestern has grown. You guys secured an outright Big Ten title there in 2008, and it wasn't a big crowd except for the Badger fans who were there. There will be Badger fans at Welsh Ryan on Saturday. There's going to be a lot of people in purple, too, because, A, the team is good, and there is juice in that place now.
Well, there is. The remodel has been fantastic. They've done a great job of putting it together and really understanding what they needed to make it more, Wildcat-friendly. The student section, both sides are there. It's not super huge, so you don't have to worry about having, 17,000, 16,000 to fill it. Mm-hmm. So it really does fit what they're trying to do. And over the last couple of years, they've had really good players. And really good players does what? Well, it brings fans to the game. And they've got really good players right now as well. And I think that's the thing that I look at with this Northwestern team is, number one, their style of play is different. They want to play slower. They want to grind it out. They want to do things different than most teams in the Big Ten. Offensively, they run some really good action. So defensively, you've got to be disciplined. If you're not disciplined, they're going to score on you. And it's going to not just be wide open threes, but it's going to be backdoor cuts. It's going to be easy baskets. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing when you look at that. And then defensively, they're locked in. They're not going to give you anything easy. Just ask, Maryland, double overtime loss. Ask Illinois how they did there. Like, it's a tough place to play. And they know when good teams get there, that level only increases.
You mentioned their defensive work. That was a couple of years ago when Chris Lowry, their assistant coach, won the Howard Moore Assistant Coach of the Year. And there was that end of the floor, the defensive end of the floor, was what got that program into the tournament.
Well, there's no question. And it's still the core of what they want to do. I mean, they're going to make you guard, or they're going to make you run your offensive set. They're going to lock you down and get into you and guard and be physical. And then you look at the set of what they've got to do and the guys that they have. Brooks Braunheiser, really good at finding ways to create. Again, this is another team that, yes, they shoot threes, but they're mainly a two-point scoring team, which is different than where the flaws is. That being said, Coach Collins has them playing to their strength. Nick Martinelli, Brooke Barnheiser, both those guys are what? Mid-range two guys that want to be, and they're crafty down there. Yeah. They're herky, they're jerky, they're all the above, but they find a way to score the basketball.
Four of the top 12 right around there will be on the floor with Blackwell, Tanjay, and then the Northwestern guys that you mentioned. And then there's also the Ty Berry factor, too. People forget he was out for the year. I mean, he played like 20, however many games it was. Then he was out for the rest of the year. They still got to the tournament. So are they the deepest team on the planet? We have a couple guys who play almost 40 minutes a game. but having Barry back as he continues to try to get up to full speed again, that's been huge.
Well, it has. And what it does there is it gives that team space on the offensive end because you have to close out to Ty Barry. You have to. If you don't close out to Ty Barry, now all of a sudden you have problems on your hands. So it gives team space to be able to operate, to maneuver, to play they want to play the way they want to play. The other thing Ty Barry is really good at, creating steals, live ball turnovers. Like, you know, we talk about what he does as far as from three, but what he does on the defensive end, creating steals, getting them extra baskets, easy baskets, that's what Northwestern needs. We know they're going to go half court to half court, grind you out, but you can't give up those easy steal opportunities where all of a sudden, you know, Northwestern has six easy points because they've shot passing lanes and they've got those for layups.
All right. Tip time is 1 o'clock on Saturday. Our coverage will start at high noon from Welsh Ryan Arena. He's Brian Butch. We'll take a break. Look around the Big Ten schedule the rest of the weekend as we continue with the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule, guests, and stories from right here in our community.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, "For every yam we pick, we give one away." In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Today.
Checking out the rest of the Thursday schedule. As you hear this for the first time, Ohio State and Penn State are underway in state college. Later, you got Nebraska on the home floor against Illinois. Oregon taking on UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. One game tomorrow night, one of those traditional rivalry games, Indiana. We'll make the bus ride up to Mackey Arena to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. on Saturday outside of the Badgers and Northwestern. You got Minnesota on the home floor against Washington. Gophers had been playing well, and then they had a tough outing earlier this week on the road at Michigan State. Rutgers coming off the big win against Northwestern on Wednesday night will host Michigan at the RAC, and USC will be at the Galen Center taking on the Michigan State Spartans. Tom Izzo's team making that trip. They got USC Saturday, UCLA on Tuesday. The Sunday games, Ohio State's at Illinois, Nebraska is at Oregon. Our coverage from Evanston will start Saturday at high noon. Tip time set for 1 o'clock for the Badgers and the Northwestern Wildcats, the one and only regular season meeting between those two teams. Join Brian Butch and me as we bring you all the action from Evanston. We'll talk to you Saturday on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The black boxes have been recovered from the American Eagle plane that collided midair with a military helicopter near Washington, D.C. last night. The National Transportation Safety Board is handling the investigation. Chair Jennifer Homendy.
We will look at the aircraft. We will look at the helicopter. We will look at the environment in which they were operating in. That is standard in any part of our investigation.
The investigation has just begun, but President Trump says
the helicopter obviously was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
CBS's Skylar Henry is near the crash scene.
There is still wreckage here as well, that because of the Potomac is moving down the river as well. We've seen some closures at some of the ports along the area as well as crews look to do their work.
CBS sources tell CBS News that an air traffic controller was doing a job to which two people are usually assigned. Aviation consultant Mike Boyd.
Whether this caused the accident or not, we don't know. But we do know it was short-staffed.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.